This is Childhood Matters, presented by Interactive Parenting Media.
Childhood Matters.
For parents and everyone else who cares for or about kids.
We are family. Get up, everybody, and sing.
Here's your host, Rona Renner.
Good morning and welcome to Childhood Matters. Today we'll discuss raising children in the digital age. How's it going at your house? There are dilemmas parents face no matter what age a child is when it comes to engaging in, enjoying, and setting limits on the multitude of media and electronic devices that surround us. From putting a child's prenatal sonogram up on your Facebook page for your relatives to see, to finding inappropriate text messages on your teen's phone. You shouldn't be looking, maybe. We're in a new era, and things will just keep getting more complicated and exciting. I'm Nurse Rona, and I'm here each week to present important topics to parents, grandparents, foster parents, child care providers, big sisters, big brothers, or anyone who cares for and about children. You know, I've never considered myself an expert on kids and technology, but I was fortunate to work with AVG Technologies to respond to their Digital Diaries campaign and research. And because of the work, I've learned things like 41% of parents allow 10 to 13-year-olds to have a computer in their bedroom. And half of parents researched by AVG in English in the English-speaking countries, have logged into their kids' social media profile without their knowledge. By the time they're 11, a majority of children use mainstream social networks such as Facebook and Twitter. And if you have a little one, you may not be surprised to hear that 69% of children aged 2 to 5 are using a computer. You know, maybe your 2-year-old is always asking to play with your smartphone or trying to play video games with her older sister. There's so much to discuss today. Parents have lots of questions and also a lot of enthusiasm. So we'd love to hear from you. If you want to be part of the conversation, call us at 877-372-KIDS. That's 877-372-5437. You can also email us during the show at info@childhoodmatters.org. What are the rules at your house when it comes to technology? And are you afraid to let your kids use the computer or social media sites? And if so, why? Do you keep up with your kids' interests? And is your parenting tested often because of begging and pleading to have just one more game or one more hour online? Today, we have two great guests with us who are passionate about these questions and more. Joining us in the studio is Ann Collier. She's a writer and a journalist who's worked in the news media for over 30 years. She's the founder and executive director of Net Family News, a public service for parents, educators, and everyone interested in young people's use of technology. Founded in 1999, it's become the journal of record, the sort of go-to place on all aspects of youth and technology, serving readers in more than 50 countries. She also co-directs ConnectSafely.org along with Larry Magid. It's a web-based interactive forum and information site. Anne has also authored two books, A Parent's Guide to Facebook and MySpace. I haven't gone to MySpace in a long time. Shh. MySpace Unraveled, A Parent's Guide to Teen Social Networking. She has served as the co-chair of the Obama administration's Online Safety and Technology Working Group and has been interviewed on all forms of media, too many to name. Ann Collier, it's such a pleasure to have you in studio with us this morning.
Thank you, Ron. It's great to be here.
Really nice to meet you. Also with us in studio is Jason Brand. He's a licensed clinical social worker and a family and individual therapist in the Bay Area with extensive experience in new media and technology. In addition to his counseling practice, he's dedicated to helping families, schools, organizations, and communities in their efforts to more thoughtfully integrate new technologies into the lives of young people. Jason writes about these issues, he trains educators and clinicians, and he presents at parent education events. In addition, Jason works with groups of kids in the consulting room and at schools with a focus on their social, emotional, and health development in regard to screen activities. Jason and I also worked on podcasts and tip sheets in response to AVG Technologies' Digital Diaries series, where they conducted international research regarding parenting concerns and responses to their kids' online habits. Jason Brand, welcome back to Childhood Matters.
Thanks, Rona. It's great to be here.
If you want to join us this morning, 877-372-KIDS. So, Ann Collier, a lot to talk about here. It's hard to know where to start since, you know, you really do take a very broad stroke on these issues. I think we should start with fear. You know, we've been talking about this. We seem to live in a culture where parents have been made to feel perhaps more afraid of technology than they should be. What do you think?
Well, I think fear is not good. It's understandable because we often fear what we don't understand. But it's important that we get informed and play around with the media, digital media and technology a little bit so that there's less misunderstanding. And the reason why fear is not good is it tends to shut down communication between parents and kids. You know, when we're fearful, we tend to overreact. We might ban things. We might shut things down. And you know, kids have a whole lot of workarounds these days. They have proxy servers and services and friends' houses and a lot of places where they can go online. So, you know, and then if they go online and, you know, after we've shut things down in places where we're not aware, you know, they go underground and we have even less influence. And so we really need to kind of be there. They need us to have their backs.
Yeah, that's a good place to start. And also sometimes when a parent is afraid, they also disconnect. There's the overreaction, and then sometimes they're the put my hands on my ears and my eyes. I won't look and see what's really going on. Jason, what do you think? Is there too much fear? Are there things to be afraid of?
Well, I love what Ann said. I mean, and I do think that as a culture, we've ushered all of this technology in so quickly. I mean, you know, the iPad hasn't even been out that long, and already, you know, you hear kids wanting them for, you know, you hear 12-year-olds wanting them for Christmas. And so, you know, it's so quick that it got into all of our hands. And I do think that we have some work to do to go back and sort of thoughtfully integrate how we're going to do this, but I don't think it's going to be a fear-based approach that's going to get us there. It's going to be all of us adults putting our heads together. You know, this is new stuff. There's some wonderful parts to it. There's some areas of concern. How are we going to usher this into our kids' lives in a way that makes sense?
Well, that's where I'd love people to call in and say, if they do feel fear, what's that about? Mm-hmm. You know, I think there's a lot of focus on bad things that happen in our society. And then there's also, I think, a fear about it being out of control, that I'm not going to be able to set the limits I need to set. I think, Anne, you told me about a term, juvenoia, as an exaggerated fear of the influence of social change. Maybe say something about that as well.
Yeah, that was coined by a great guy at the University of New Hampshire, Dr. David Finkelhor. He's actually director of the Crimes Against Children Research Center there. One of the primary sources of information about youth risk online. And he, you know, Dr. Finkelhor talks about how we have really exaggerated the fear factor in this society where online kids are concerned. We need to be really careful about that and get to the facts. We need to be fact-based, not fear-based.
Well, and also not, and we don't want to minimize some of the risks that exist. And I think that's the important balance we want to say is what, you know, what is there that we can, and what can we do? What are the safety things that we can do to put controls on where controls are needed? And Jason, you've talked about this a lot too. We've got to see the awe, and we also have to be really responsible and then figure out what to do if our kids do get in trouble.
Yeah, what I find is that parents want something they can do because, you know, there's so much technology that is all of a sudden in their kids' lives. Their kids are often in front of them in terms of adopting the new technologies. And so I think it's a combination as, you know, as educators and as people that speak to parents to both try to give them some practical things they can do, but there's a limit to that. And at a certain point, it's about, like Ann said in her introduction, about good communication and how do we have open dialogues with our kids.
Great. Well, that's the conversation today. There's a lot more to say. I want to open up the phone lines, though, 1-877-372-KIDS. And I also want to mention that an old friend of mine who used to work at Kiss FM, Jerry Dove, has a new venture called G-Dove Designs, and his product is called Hug Your Child, hychild.com. And he's going to give away a few of the T-shirts that he has. It's a T-shirt that says Hug Your Child with some pictures on it. So since we'll be talking about parents being involved in their children's lives online and offline, I thought I'd give this T-shirt to some, maybe three of our first callers. So let's start off with Keisha this morning from Oakland. Hi, Keisha.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning, Ann. Good morning, Jason.
Hi, Keisha.
Good morning to you. So what do you think? You have two boys, what, around 10 and 12? Or?
Well, nope, just 9 2 days ago and 11 now.
Nine and 11.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, Rhonda, it's interesting. I have a huge interest in this topic. For me, I think that our house has really good communication around this. My 11-year-old is more technology, you know, bound than my 9-year-old right now. But, you know, Winston, my 11-year-old, does have a phone because he's in junior high school now, and he does text. And I found it interesting that the other day he got one of those chain text messages that said, you know, pass this along to 10 girls or so you can have good karma. And his whole thing was worrying about, like, he didn't know 10 girls to pass it on to so he can have good karma. So he's like, what am I going to do, Mom? So I thought that was kind of cute, and I was kind of happy to know that he didn't know 10 girls, so I didn't have to worry about that. But
not yet. It won't be long, Keisha. Yeah. It won't be long,
but,
honey.
You know, we don't have TVs in our rooms. We don't have computers in our rooms. That's crazy to me. But we do have a computer in our house, of course, and we have our smartphones. And we have been very good about our communication about what we will allow, what will make us all a happy house. And I have really good restrictions on what they can and can't do. And I also have restrictions that I've set up on the computer. So even if they try to, it blocks them from it. And I had to do a little bit of research on how to block your computer, how to block your cable, you know, those kind of things, because I just can't control what's out there. And it's not that I don't want them to be exposed to things at the right age. I just don't want it to pop up on them. And,
Well, Keisha, you're bringing up so many important points here. And I think, you know, we don't want to minimize that we do need to have good communication. We need to have rules and restrictions and safety. And, you know, putting on things like, you know, I know AVG has a family safety, and you probably blog on all kinds of safety things that are out there. What do you think about what Keisha's mentioning here?
Well, Keisha, I think, you know, the number one thing I'm hearing is that you're talking with your kids, and that's so wonderful. He came to you when he had that weird chain email, and he expressed his worries to you. So that's just awesome. That, you know, that's the number one safety tip, is talk with your kid, because, you know, safety really works from the kid out. It's highly individual how you calibrate the rules, the policies, the technology, you know, for each kid. And each kid in a household, you know, is very individual and has different needs and, you know, matures at different rates and stuff. So it sounds like you're doing a whole lot of right things. As for filtering, yeah, that's probably good for, you know, the ages of your kids. But after a while, you know, they develop workarounds, and, you know, even the filtering technology has less usefulness. But the good news is that exposure to, you know, inadvertent exposure to pornography and stuff online is actually going down. That was a major finding just in the past month or so, that it's gone down from 34% to 23% of kids experiencing that kind of exposure.
And that's 23% too many.
Yeah. You know, yeah, it's too much, but at least it's going down, right? I think we all think that it's only going up, and it's not.
Jason.
Yeah, well, first of all, I'm impressed that Winston knows what karma is. I thought that was
great.
I mean, I think what I liked about what Keisha said is the way that she stays in front of it. I mean, it sounds like Winston is using his cell phone in a way that's very responsible. And so just because your kid has the technology doesn't mean they're doing dangerous things. And what I like about what Keisha says is that she's a step in front of it, so that if Winston bumps into something that he shouldn't bump into, or, you know, gets in over his head in something, that Keisha's there because she has an understanding of it, and she's using parental control, or she's using her own, you know, good communication skills, but she's in front of it. And so Winston will know, hey, when I get to something I don't understand, my parents will be there.
And she did say she had to do research, and I think that's where Keisha, things get stuck for people, is that you have to do the research, but know that there are places like Anne's website.
NetFamilyNews.org and ConnectSafely.org. There are lots of resources out there. Yeah.
Right. And so people could go there to get help. And no matter how connected and good you are as a parent, things happen. And then you have to figure out how to get the help when you need it. But Keisha, thank you. You know, would you like a T-shirt that says, hug your child, Keisha?
Heck yeah, I want that.
Okay. Do you want blue or pink?
I want blue.
Okay, blue for you. We'll send you a T-shirt. Hug your child. Keisha, thank you for your information. And I know the other thing is that technology can be used for all kinds of things that I know your son is artistic. I didn't say autistic. I said artistic. And he, you know, is really talented. And I think he'll probably be teaching you a lot about computer use and art online. Have a great day, Keisha.
All right. Thank you.
You know, to follow up, we have a caller who's not going online, but really I want to read this message. This caller said, these kids are doing way more than spending too much time on Facebook. Too many times people want to sugarcoat stuff or don't realize how serious things are, even though they think they know. He wants to hear a little bit more about issues of porn addiction and children getting involved in X-rated internet activities. His 12-year-old was found researching women who want to have sex with boys. His son found the material through a computer given to him by the school, even though the school said that it had parental controls. The kids can turn them off. Jason?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think, you know, I mean, my heart goes out to this dad and this family. I mean, and you know, I mean, these are real. I don't think anybody here is saying that there aren't concerns and that there aren't things that parents need to take very seriously. I think that putting the technology before the parenting is at least, you know, is the message that we still need our and if anything today in today's world, we need parents to be the authority. And not put technology in the way. So yeah, I mean, I think there are real concerns about kids being exposed to things that they're not developmentally ready to be exposed to. And I think Google and these, you know, other search engines, I mean, you know, you can ask it any question. And what's an 11, 12-year-old who's coming into their bodies? What are the questions that they're going to put out there? We have to expect some of that. We have to also be really aware that what's out there can be dangerous and that, you know, I mean, certain parents are going to use parental control software in order to protect that. Other parents are going to use communication, and it really depends on the developmental level of the child. It depends on the family.
And also, it's important not to freak out when this happens. Yeah. I mean, you know, finding a Playboy under your child's bed back in the day, you know, a parent might really get freaked out.
Right.
And so there's a different access now, but there's still some of the developmental issues that come up. It's just that it's so much bigger and we don't understand a lot of it as parents.
Yeah, it's really much more about our humanity than our technology. And one of the problems with parental control technology is the false sense of security that it can give parents. They think, oh, okay, we won't have to have that talk because my child won't be exposed to the bad stuff online. And you know, that's usually a conversation we have to have when, as Jason said, they're finding their sexuality.
So we want to partner our connection and awareness with the technologies that are out there. So, you know, putting screening technologies on is good as long as we don't think that it's the only thing that's happening.
It'll take care of everything.
Right.
It will not.
And it won't take care of everything.
No.
And one other point from the email, I mean, you know, he said it was a school-issued laptop computer. And it is confusing. I mean, you know, for kids these days, I mean, we, you know, in my generation, we went to other places in order to do the things, you know, in order to act out. You know, kids today are acting in. And at the same time, it's the same portal where all of their school information is coming in. So it's complicated.
It's complicated. I think that's a good place to stop for a minute. We're going to take a very short break because I want to hear from you. What are you dealing with when it comes to raising children in the online, cell phone, computer, tablet, social network age? And, you know, if you're a grandma like me, there's a lot of catching up to do. And don't forget, your kids can help you catch up. Just talk to them. And in a moment, we'll talk with you and take your call. We're talking with Ann Collier. She's the founder and executive director of Net Family News. And also Jason Brand, a family and individual therapist in the Bay Area with experience in media and technology. And Jason and I co-authored some podcasts and parenting information on AVG Technologies Digital Diaries series. Give us a call. What are you dealing with at your home? What are you concerned about? What's awesome about technology and your kids? What are they learning? What are you learning? And whatever's up for you, give us a call. 1-877-372-KIDS. We're now going to talk with Sandra from Berkeley, and she's the founder of Parent Mindfully. Hi, Sandra.
Hi, Rona.
Good morning.
So I just wanted to say that this is such a great show, and Anne's site, Connect Safely, and Net Family News are absolutely the go-to sites I use for the parents I work with. And what I am wondering about is one of the things that comes up a lot when I give talks to parents is that many parents are letting their kids who are younger than 13 have Facebook pages. And I'm wondering if you'd speak to that.
Great question.
And hi, Jason.
Hi, Sandra.
It's a really good question. And there are so many fuzzy areas in this digital age. Anne, go ahead.
Yeah, thanks, Sandra, so much. It is tricky. There are a couple of things to remember. Yeah, 7.5 million, according to Consumer Reports, 7.5 million kids under 13 are on Facebook. That's a lot of under 13 kids. And but, you know, there was a study just in the last few months that found that about 84% of parents of 10 to 14-year-olds are aware that their children are in Facebook. And they also, about two-thirds of that group of parents, two-thirds of the 84%, actually help their kids set up their accounts on Facebook. So I think what that says is that socializing online is becoming pretty normative, and it's very difficult to avoid. And the study also found that kids aren't lying to their parents about their social networking; they're lying to Facebook. And the unfortunate thing is that it's kind of normalizing this prevarication, you know, the lying part of things. Disobeying or disregarding terms of use. So I'm not sure what we do about that. I mean, COPPA is currently the Children's Online Privacy Protection Act, a federal law, is under review right now by the Federal Trade Commission. But I think it is important to remember that COPPA is a privacy law, and the fact that it established this sort of age cutoff or minimum age for social networking is about children's privacy and what is done with their data. It's not about safety. So it does not say that Facebook is unsafe for kids under 13. It's just not, you know, it was a kind of an arbitrary age based on public comment when the American Psychological Association, in a very short comment to the FTC when the law was originally passed, said that, you know, at that age, under 13, kids generally can't tell the difference between editorial content and advertising content. Mm. So, you know, it's really about privacy and data than it is about safety.
Jason, so parents come to you and say, my kid is 11 and their friends are on Facebook and what do I do? And I don't know whether I should let them or not.
Mm-hmm. Well, the first question I ask is, what do you know about Facebook? And, you know, what's your experience with it? And then the second piece is, you know, has your child come to you and asked you in a way that you know, that has taken into account, you know, what their needs are? And if you're going to say no, I mean, you know, saying no is always an option, but how are you going to help your kid to feel like they can be socially part of what's going on in their community?
And I noticed that I know some people whose children are, you know, under 13 who are on, and they become, the parents are friends on Facebook, mm-hmm, with their child. And it's interesting to kind of like view, and the rules usually are, I'm not going to post on your page, but I can look at anything that you have on.
Yeah, that's a good rule.
And it's often enlightening for the parents. I think a lot of it goes back to setting limits on who you can friend, teaching kids about what they can post. I mean, I recently saw something on a young person's site where they put their address up because they were doing a fund drive. And I had to send an email to the mama and say, you know, can you remind your daughter not to put her address on? So it's a way sometimes to teach some of those skills. But I also think, Anne, what you said about we're breaking the law
And we do that a lot as parents. I mean, I could think of taking my, 20-year-old out for dinner and letting her have a drink before she was 21.
Well, we're not. No, we're not really breaking the law. We're breaking Facebook's terms of service.
It's not the law.
It's not the law. The law is for the websites, right?
Yeah.
They're complying with the law
in
establishing that minimum age. And I think that's an important distinction to make. If I could just say, too, that what Jason said is so important about really talking with your kid about their social lives, not as much. You've got to talk about how they're using Facebook too, but this is about their peer group, their social life. And I remember when my kid, who's now in high school, was in middle school, there was a child whose parents did not allow her to have any access at all to anything on the internet. No Facebook, no texting, no cell phone. And she was so socially isolated. I really felt for that child. And I don't think that's really the way to go.
So that was a great consideration. Sandra, before we move on, anything you want to add to that?
No, I think what's been said just emphasizes that it's all teachable moments.
Yeah.
That all this gives us an opportunity to converse more with our kids about all the stuff that's going on. So thank you.
And it's their world, and it's going on and will continue to go on in their world. And I think also, just when you said teachable moments, it made me think again to make sure and say, and then there are moments to go outdoors and go for a hike and ride bikes together and go other places together. And, we're talking about technology today, but it's not to say that that's what you should be doing as a parent. And Sandra, since you do a lot of work on mindfulness, I was reminded to say that. So thanks for calling this morning.
Well, thank you very much.
Take care now.
So, bye.
Bye. Let's take a listen now to what some young folks have to say about this subject.
I'm producer Felsha Zuschlag, and this week I'm at Westlake Middle School speaking with sixth graders about their perspectives and experiences with technology. So do you have a smartphone, video games, or computer access?
I do have a computer. I do have a game console, and yes, I do have a phone, but not a smartphone.
Yeah, I have a Metro, and I have a PS3, and an Xbox, and an iMac computer.
Yes, I have a computer.
No phone, but I'm going to get one, around 7th grade, and my mom has a Big Mac, but she doesn't let me use it, and our Wii has internet, and I don't use my Game Boy very much.
I have a computer and a smartphone.
We have a computer that I use a lot.
Recently, I just moved to a new house, so I used to have everything, internet, and a phone that has internet, a computer. I still have those things, but it's just that we don't got any internet or cable or anything else you can use in the house.
Yeah, we have laptops and computers and a Wii.
And what type of things do you do when you're on your phone, playing video games, and how much time would you say you spend using technology in a day?
Around 2, maybe 2.5 hours. My game console for entertainment, my computer if I want to check out Facebook or Twitter, and my phone to call my friends.
For using my Wii for internet, I go for YouTube, I listen to music.
I usually use it to check my email or just play games. About a day, I'm probably on it for an hour.
And do you think your parents are worried about what you're able to access on the internet through your video games or through your phone? And are your parents involved at all when you're using this technology? Do they check up on you?
No. She doesn't really pay attention when I'm using my game consoles. Most times, though, she check on me once in a while during when I'm on a computer.
No, because I don't be on Facebook and stuff.
Well, they don't really worry about me going on things because they're pretty strict about what I go on the internet, and I wouldn't go to sites that wouldn't be appropriate for me.
They forbade me to use Facebook. They think I'm going to get stalked. If somebody pretends to be someone my age when they're not.
Yeah, sometimes grown men is acting like they're boys.
Well, my dad set up the McAfee parental control thing so they can monitor what I can do and what I can't.
And have you ever seen or found anything on the computer, your phone, or through your video games that have made you feel uncomfortable?
Yes, it was a blog on the computer that had some inappropriate images of ladies, women, and I had to turn off my computer. I didn't get on it for like 3 days.
My iPhone was pre-owned, so I saw a couple of messages, and they were really inappropriate.
And what do you think is the best thing about technology?
Because it can help you do what you do in your everyday life.
You could talk to people from long distance.
They all have different uses. Like, some are portable, some are just plain fun.
So you can do, like, limitless things with it. Like, you can download so many things that you can do.
It made life easier.
Because you can, like, communicate with people that you don't get to see a lot. And also, if, like, you need a ride home suddenly, then you can call your parents, so it just kind of makes things easier.
For Childhood Matters, I'm Felsha Zuschlag.
Thank you so much, Felsha, for going and talking to the kids. I love hearing the voices of kids. And there's a lot there. Anything stand out for you?
Oh, they're so intelligent. Can you believe how articulate they are? You know, I think we've got to give our kids more credit than we do. We've got to stop always seeing them as potential victims. They're so in the driver's seat, and you know, we can be co-drivers with them. I think that's just really important that, you know, there's this wonderful professor in the UK who talks about, you know, our role when our kids play video games. That comes up a lot, right? I mean, 97% of 12 to 17-year-olds in this country play games, and, you know, 99% of boys and 94% of girls. So the best thing for a parent to do, if a parent doesn't want to actually play with the kid in a video game, if you're a little intimidated by the actual play.
Or you're not so coordinated.
Yeah. And that's okay. You know, we're different from our kids. But the wonderful thing to do is to talk with your kid about just what's happening in that game. How did you make that decision? Talk to me about it, because educators say that, you know, a lot of what happens in video games and online games, whether console or whatever, is experiential learning. But the experience itself is only half the learning. The other half is the reflection, the articulation of what happened. So your kid, you can really maximize your kid's experience in a video game if you talk with him or her about what happened and why they did that, and so that they can reflect on it out loud.
Experiential learning is so broad, and, you know, adult learning is like that too. We really need to process what we're learning. And I do want to say that, you know, at one point I refused to let any more of certain type of video games in my house when my kids were young. And parents have the right to do that.
Absolutely.
But you can find good ones there and engage. What did you think about the kids speaking? Anything stood out for you?
There's so much there. It was so great. I mean, just one point that stuck in my mind was that the diversity, you know, not all kids are crazy about technology. I mean, we talk about these kids as if they, you know, that's all they want to do. That's not true. I mean, you know, and we heard some of that diversity. We also heard, you know, that the safety messages are getting through to kids, that they get it. When I talk to groups of kids, what I notice is that safety, they can sort of spit back at you all of the safety rules. It's the trust and respect piece that I think really requires our attention now. How do we talk about trust and respect with kids?
Thank you for saying that. That's really at the core of it. Let's take more calls. 1-877-372-KIDS. We have Katie with us now from Oakland. Hi, Katie.
Hi, Rona.
Good morning.
Hi, good morning.
So, how old are your kids?
My kids are 7 and 9 years old.
And do you have a question or something you just want to add to this conversation?
Well, I'd like to just add something. I know you guys were talking about parent engagement and experiential learning, and I think I've kind of had my own, as a parent, my own, like, journey. I think at first was opposed to having the kids play video games, but they played at their dad's house. I'm a single mom, so, you know, dad's house, dad's rules. But that's what they did with their dad. That's how they bonded with their dad, and they started really liking video games. And then, you know, the day finally came when I got them a console. But then I also discovered that they could take video game design classes, and then I felt a lot better about letting them even play games, because I saw that they were able to learn and process and articulate what they didn't like about the game. And I started having my son Nathan, who's 9, write down, because he has a lot of, like, insight about the games. Like, I don't like this game because, you know, they do the same attack at every level. That's really dumb. and so, like, we talk about the game designers and, like, you know, how difficult it is sometimes to do all these different layers of conceptualizing and coding. And so I have Nathan write down the things he doesn't like about his video games and come up
Brilliant.
With a solution. Mm-hmm. Because as a kid, I mean, and that's going to make him a great video game designer. So, and tester. So he's had opportunities to do testing.
You know, Katie, yeah. This is such a great example of, you know, turning something that you were not so happy about into something really positive. Anne?
What a great journey. That's really impressive that you decided that maybe he could actually turn it into something that he could master as a designer himself. That's one of the things I'm really excited about in social media and technology is that, you know, kids really can do very professional work with peers and adults in their field of interest, their passion, long before they leave school. There's so much learning going on.
You know, and even with little ones, Jason, I was thinking about when we first did a show together, you talking about your daughter and you making a video together.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, it's that same kind of embracing of what technology is.
Yeah, and I'm really struck by what Anne said about the reflective piece. I mean, because we can remove this from video games, we can remove it from technology, and we can just say kids have their experiences, and then they have reflection. You know, and parents are in a much better position to help kids to have the reflection, and just you know, and so you know, if you can get it going in the technology where kids feel passionate about it, that's great.
And what Katie's doing is taking another step and providing opportunities for her son to practice and expand his knowledge. Katie, do you ever get any criticism for allowing your kids to have video games?
I mean, yeah, people, yeah, I mean, not criticism directly, but just like, oh, you know, my, like, relatives will talk to my kids about, you got to get outside, and, like, because they talk a lot about video games.
Right.
I mean, my kids do have other activities and so on and so forth, but, like, the older generation, like...
Like me. My generation.
Parents.
Get outside and play.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. So, and I mean, of course, but that's important, but that's... But then once I explain, like, everything that we're doing with the video games, they... You know, they kind of get more turned on to it as well. And
yes.
I think that it's really important to tap into kids' passion, what they enjoy. If they're having fun, they're going to be able to learn.
Yes.
So I think it's something that you can really leverage for the positive.
Well, that's really well said, Katie. And I think there is, you know, there's balance and, yes, you know, going outdoors. And I also remember my adult kids, my daughter in particular, my older daughter saying, Mom, you let me watch TV for too many hours at a time. And, you know, I was a single parent and there were times I used, you know, the TV just so that I can get something done. So as parents, a lot of it is about us. It's about the temptation to have your little two-year-old on the computer or the tablet so you can get a lot done and then a little bit more and a little bit more and then not feel guilty, but is this what you want? You got to grapple with it, like all things in parenting. You just got to grapple with it. So I think if you keep paying attention and you're mindful and you're aware of what you're doing, you know, what more can you ask? Katie, I'd like to send you a t-shirt from our friend Jerry Dove. It's called Hug Your Child. And let Felsha know whether you want a blue or a pink. And great. Thank you so much for calling in this morning.
Okay, thank you. Thanks for the good topic.
Oh, you're very welcome. I think it's very important right now. Let's take a listen now to what a mother and her child had to say.
I'm Associate Producer Lorenzo Plazola Jr. When I was growing up, my parents had many of the same concerns for my well-being as parents do today. But instead of 16-bit video games and vulgar television cartoons, the world now has more access to computers, tablets, smartphones, and social networking. While very beneficial to children's growth in today's age, many parents feel the need to have to set regulations for various reasons like inappropriate content or just physical inactivity. Earlier this week, I had the pleasure to speak with a mother and daughter, and here's what they had to say.
So what electronic devices do you let your child use, and how early did you let your kid play with a computer or a cell phone, pad, etc.?
I initially let her use the laptop,
to play with the
online games.
Yeah, well, PBS, only PBS. That's the only thing I let her play with. She enjoyed, you know, doing the Dora stuff, Dragon Tail. She loved Dragon Tail, so it was entertaining, but no more than 15 minutes. And currently, she plays with the DS. She plays with that.
How old was she when she first started playing on the laptop or on video game systems?
On the laptop, 5. She had already started kindergarten. She was on the computer, but not online. Just playing around with the letters and doing the paint program. And she would do her letters in different colors and use a little brush strokes to draw whatever she wanted. And so that was how she started.
Do you worry about setting appropriate limits?
I don't really worry. I think I let her be there. Let her use the computer about 15 minutes, unless it's homework. Because now that she's in the second grade, they actually gave her some homework to do online and some studying for math as well as for spelling, vocabulary.
How do you feel about your second grader getting online tasks now?
It's fun because it's an extra way for her to practice her spelling, look at her math, to review. It's pretty much what they use at school, but she's able to practice at home. Although we don't use it as much because luckily she's pretty good at in class and school. So just the homework alone is what we focus on more. It's amazing to see little kids be on top of it, just like adults. In fact, I feel older than I really am because she's more aware of how to use these devices and their names than I am. I haven't been really wanting an iPad. However, she's like, I want an iPad for Christmas.
And why do you think it's important for parents in general to set limits to children using all kinds of technology, not just a computer, but, you know, video game systems and et cetera?
I think, first of all, they need exercise. They need to be playing outside. They need to not get overweight. It seems like that's a problem now. Kids are always playing video games, just doing loner type things. And I think it's important for kids to also socialize. It makes it easier for them as adults as well. So I think that's my number one concern. Besides that, the other thing that concerns me is her being using the web without me being present, because you never know what might pop up, not what she may look for, but what kind of items and things might pop up.
Now let's hear what her 7-year-old had to say.
How often do you use the computer or play around on your dad's cell phone?
Not often. Like, I don't do it like every day. Like,
do you have fun playing around the computer? What kind of things do you do on the computer?
Like, I only like do like school stuff, like Spelling City and like that stuff.
Does your mommy give you any rules to using the internet?
It's because I never like ask her, and I don't like ever really want to use the internet on her computer. And I don't know, like, to me, it's just not fun.
What would you rather do? Play on a DS, play on the computer, or actually play outside?
I'd rather do, like, soccer, if there's, like, a bunch of kids.
Why do you think some parents put rules to their kids on using the computer or playing around on a cell phone?
Like, it's theirs, and, like, they might, like, do something, like, wrong, or, like, go on the internet without asking, and, like, they go on YouTube and they're never allowed to go on YouTube.
What are the dangers, you think, online of certain sites?
Like, from seeing, like, bad habits, like smoking and that stuff, because, like, maybe when they grow up, they start smoking because, like, of that video or anything, or, like seeing blood because, like, just not good for them.
For Childhood Matters, I'm Lorenzo Plazola.
Again, love hearing what kids have to say, Jason.
Well, I think the schoolwork piece is interesting. I mean, I'm hopeful that, you know, as schools begin to integrate the technology into kids' lives, that we'll start thinking about this more holistically and not just as some sort of, you know, sideshow that we have to sort of, you know, create little 15-minute windows for, that we have to actually take it up as a whole. And then, you know, as a parent, and I also have a 7-year-old at home, there are those moments where, you know, where my daughter chooses to be on the computer instead of choosing to be outside, and I do have concerns about that. I mean, I want her to know the sort of more wholesome parts about that came more naturally in my life because there were less screens.
Yeah, Anne?
Oh, I agree with Jason so much about about everything, but the social media in school, getting digital technology and media into school pre-K through 12 in the core curriculum throughout the day is so important because, you know, we talk about digital citizenship, but how do we get there if we're not, you know, you can't teach swimming without a pool. You need the social media in schools so they can practice the citizenship just in everyday classroom work, in a class blog, and, you know, when they're chatting, when they're texting, you know, with iPads or phones, you know, with their teacher. They're just practicing this stuff. It's like it becomes second nature. Citizenship is a verb.
Thank you for that. And we have a caller who's sent a message to us here, wants to hear about what you think about parents who conduct themselves without respect, trust on their own Facebook accounts. How does this reflect on their children who watch them and the way they interact with Facebook? You know, and this is great to just remind us all that, you know, how do our kids learn about cursing when they hear us driving and cursing people who have cut us off? How do our kids learn about bullying, and how do our kids sometimes learn about how we deal with anger and frustration? They learn so much from what they see with us. And so, again, if our kids are going to be friends with us on Facebook, we have to also think about how we're modeling for them.
Oh, absolutely. Bullying is not just a kid thing. Mm-hmm. You know, mean gossip and harassment is not just a kid thing. They learn that from adults, you know, and it's really all so much about, you know, what we model for our kids.
Right. And so if your kid is going to be a friend with you on Facebook, what you post will have a big impact on them because it's from their parent.
Yeah, it's complicated, though, because, you know, I mean, there used to be adult time and kid time. And now that we're all socializing in the same place, I mean, it's, you know, I mean, inevitably, I think some of this is going to cross over. I do think that, you know, that we have a responsibility to be, for there to be good adult digital citizens out there and for us to model to kids. And there's not enough conversation about how do we sort of mentor kids online? How do we create those moments where kids go, oh, there's an adult there who's paying attention? And, you know, I mean, that's what's most important.
You know, and it's interesting. I noticed that a lot of folks, you know, in their teens, late teens and 20s are moving off of Facebook and are doing a lot more on Twitter and other kinds of social media. And I noticed that it's harder for adults to sort of catch up with that. And I think there's a way of saying, I need my space. Mm-hmm. And it may not be, you know, Facebook where or MySpace where I find it. I may need to find it somewhere else.
Yeah, that's why it's important that we not be too intrusive on Facebook. It's just good to check in every now and then. Mm-hmm. And let them have their space because, you know, they can always go somewhere else and, you know, into sort of a stealth site or, you know, something that we're not aware of. So what's the point of pushing them out?
Yeah. So, you know, we're actually coming to an end soon here, and there's so much. What did we leave out that feels really essential in terms of all the reading you do, all the work you do? What else should parents be thinking about?
Well, you know, I think we are very privileged now in a lot of ways. We are so much more exposed to our children's everyday lives than we ever were before, especially if we're, you know, friends with each other on Facebook or, you know, and I'm not just talking about parents. I'm talking about researchers. I'm talking about educators. We have access to their everyday lives more than ever. It's hard for them to get away from us. And I think we need to be a little bit mindful about that too and know that, you know, maybe some of what we're exposed to, you know, is what kids are doing now. Facebook is just the tip of the iceberg. It's just an expression of who they are in everyday life. And, you know, we are seeing that more than ever before. So are we reacting to what we're exposed to? Are we reacting to much more exposure, or are we reacting to what's going on in their lives? That's something to think about, I think.
Well, you know, when you said that, I also realized, you know, Richard Louv wrote the book The Last Child in the Woods and talked about when he was young, he would go off into the woods for hours and hours at a time. His parents didn't know where he was, what he was doing. He was out in nature. You know, there were other ways in which children explored, took risks.
Yeah.
But because we're so fear-based also, I think there's just a lot of anxiety out there about what our kids are doing.
Maybe try to hold back the fear a little bit
and expect them
to be doing good things.
Yeah, and then be available when it's not happening. And Jason Brand, maybe something you can say also about the younger children since, you know, I know you have a couple of them in terms of all these other sites and Any last words about what we should be paying attention to?
Well, I mean, I think we should be paying attention to their balance of getting in, you know, getting outside. And I mean, you know, I just keep thinking about the first email about, you know, sugarcoating this stuff. I mean, you know, there's a lot of stuff to think about, and we have to do a lot as parents in this age right now to figure out about this technology. For kids, younger kids in particular, I think it's really, I mean, you know, it's not only about the time that they spend, it's about the context, it's about the content that they're looking at, it's about the child's developmental place, and it's about parents being there with them to help them understand this and also learning from them. You can learn so much by sitting down with your kid and, you know, and exploring with them online.
Made me think about Common Sense Media as a good place for people to go when they want to see, is this appropriate? And then you have to watch these cartoons with your kids and see, are these the values that I want my kids learning? Is this how I would want someone talking to my kids? It just takes our due diligence to really pay attention. Jason Brown, how can people find out about the work you're doing with trainings and teaching and your therapy practice?
Yeah, thank you. I'm in Berkeley, and my website is jasonbrand.com.
Thank you. And Ann Collier, how can people read your work and learn from all the passionate work you do?
Well, thank you so much. I blog daily almost at netfamilynews.org, and you know, some of it is just kind of reporting the news and some of it is just kind of my thoughts and more commentary.
Well, thank you for that. And also connectsafely.org is another great site that you're involved with. And I want to thank AVG Technologies for teaching me a lot about this. And you can go and hear Jason and I talk about the subject in more detail at avgdigitaldiaries.com or just go to childhoodmatters.org to find out the information. Thank you so much. It feels like we just started this conversation that we need to certainly continue again. Very rich, lots to think about. Connect with other people. Talk to the other people in your child's life. Talk to their friends, parents. Find out what people are doing. Thank you to our producers, Felsha Zuschlag and Lorenzo Plazola at the control. And my gratitude to my children, Pei, Mara, Matt, and Karina. This is Rona saying goodbye until next week. And remember, spend time with your child and don't forget to take good care of yourself. Childhood matters, and so do you.
You've been listening to Childhood Matters.
Produced by Collins Media Services and presented by the nonprofit Interactive Parenting Media. Join us again for Childhood Matters. Find out more at childhoodmatters.org.